Hey everyone, it's Scott Hartnell here, and you're listening to Missing Curfew.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to a fresh new episode of Missing Curfew. I'm Shane O'Brien, coming to you from Hall Pass Media in Newport Beach with my boy, the Up Dog.
Shane O'Brien, thanks for having me. Nice to be back in the studio, mixing it, snapping it around with you, my fella, and our boy Jimmy Hayes on the East Coast.
Scoopsy!
Boys, what's up? One of the worst things happened today, though. Got an email from the club, the golf club I belong to. No golf carts till May 1st.
No.
How brutal is that?
Are you going to break out the pull cart?
Exactly. I'm a big push cart guy. I always use them.
Those aren't easy either, especially if you throw a couple beers or a bottle of tequila in there. It starts to get heavy when you're pushing Broadway.
Yeah, I got one buddy I play with. He puts his own cooler in it, so I just laugh my ass off when he's fucking pushing that thing around.
I'll tell you what's worse than the no cart rule is when the greenskeeper gets control of the course and starts punching your fairways and your greens.
Oh, I was there this morning.
Which is what happened at our course, which is why I might be, I am headed to Cabo Wabo tomorrow.
Yeah, but it's all losses.
Back to Cabo again.
I got the family going into Cabo for Easter weekend.
Are you spending Easter there?
Yeah,
we're going to come back Sunday.
Are you doing another private plane there?
We're going to come back Sunday. But I'm going to bring in the Easter eggs and we're going to do a little hunt.
That's cool.
Hunt around Billy Quinn's house. Hide the eggs.
Good luck finding all the eggs in that house.
Totally.
Izzy's got her hands full. That house
might take a day to find them from the pictures I've seen.
I might have to get Enrique to dress up like the bunny or something.
Yeah, that's cute. Sure,
that'll be good.
You got the playoff goatee going a little bit. Eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's nice. Nice.
Yeah, it's a little silver fox.
Is that just
it's almost
too
playoff
much,
time. I trimmed up the sides, tightened up the neck with
the Manscaped.
With Manscapes.
I was
a little hesitant on going right from the
Calgary,
balls right to the face. When you got balls like mine, you go right to your face.
That's the least of our concerns. Hey, how nice is the little light on that thing for real?
That's good.
If you're in the, I like to shave in the shower. Right?
Yeah, or in the dark.
Yeah. Or when you're getting to the close parts, it's like that little light's like, I got room to play with there.
Yeah.
Like, that's something you can't really see without it. So
I know.
To our listeners, spring, summer, clean those balls up. Give them a trim. The light's a nice touch. And the fucking weed whacker for the nose trimmers. I'm telling you, I got Broadway. I got some nose hairs that get
Colin
going.
Miller, same, bud. My wife always reminds me too. It's the worst feeling.
So that weed whacker up, dog, it gets in there nice.
Yeah, so anyway, I might shave this off before I get to Cabo. I don't like going in to a pure vacation, especially a sunny one.
Life's a vacation.
Mm-hmm. It has to. It has to. You got to keep a smile on your face. You know?
Yeah, I think you
another
should keep,
one.
You like keep it? They might think you're part of the cartel with that fucking thing.
All right, I'll be packing heat then.
Up, dog. Shout out to our boy Grant Garbers, who's taking you down there. Garbsy.
Yeah, to answer your question, Jimmy,
he only flies private, Dan. Your question.
Yeah, well, that was a dumb question.
Not to be that guy or sound like that guy. Actually, Grant Garbers just texted me. Yeah. When you travel with a baby, bro, and you know this, Jimmy, it is no joke. And I'll tell you what, I was gonna go to Cabo last weekend, and we pack up, and Christina, my girl, God love her, she's never in a rush to pack. Yeah. And or shower or
is any
whatever.
Girl in a rush to pack?
I don't know, but
she enjoys a full day, Christina. She likes to enjoy her day.
So
does that count as
so
a win
I come home from
boys?
Going to grab my golf clubs and getting coffees for us and you it's know like, a little breakfast sandwich. And I come in and my job was to get Isabel's stuff, pack it, have it ready to go. And it was 80% packed. I get home, I finish the 20, I go upstairs, she's getting out of the shower.
I'm looking at her.
I don't even say anything because as soon as I start saying anything, she snaps. Like me saying one thing is gonna interrupt her from getting ready. So of course I go, listen, the flight is 10:20. Flying Southwest.
I can't believe you
now,
fly
mind,
Southwest.
Mind you,
Southwest. Fly free.
I'm going to take most of the blame here because it's an international flight, which I haven't been on in a long time.
People love it. People commercial. Keep asking.
And
you haven't been a security line.
And it's be there at least an hour before like it shuts, the gates shut down. So it takes me 12 and a half minutes to get from my house to John Wayne Airport. And I said 9 o'clock. Well, it's 9 o'clock
the,
now. It's 9:05.
Matthew? No, he's
now
been,
we don't have gas. So I literally, I am buzzing. Get to the gas station, $4.50 in gas, and I fly to the thing. Now I have to park the vehicle, but I'm not going to park it. I pull right up. I get out of the car. I have Isabel. We fly in. I got my golf clubs, Isabel. I get to the gate, and I see this one guy in front of me losing his mind, and I'm like, oh god. And they're like, the gates closed hour prior. We're there with 56 minutes prior. They shut down the gate. I look at the guy. I'm like, who do I get to talk to here about this? I'm my baby. My girl, we packed all our stuff. We have a wedding. I make up this bullshit story.
Like, if someone made,
and they're like, "No can do. It's an international flight. It's rules, regulations." I'm like, "Give me my money back right now." And then I'm gonna call Southwest and explain to them that you idiots here didn't let me on the flight, because I'm sure airlines could use the extra like $1,400 that I just paid you.
Yep.
Sure enough, no. So,
and then is it true that you then text Evan to see if he uses his plane?
Like I text. I said, Evan,
Big Canyon boys, I need a plane.
Can you? I'm like, what's it take to get your bird in the air? Because I'm already packed, and we wanted to go on this vacation.
Yeah.
He said we wouldn't be able to get out till the night, and he gave me a good price on it, but it wasn't working because we were just like, screw it.
Yeah.
And then we called Wheels Up.
Oh,
Christina was, you know, she's, wow. Been, she used to work for, she used to work for Wheels Up, wow. And she knows, you know, she knows some of the guys there.
She's been holding out at us,
and that can get a plane. Anyway, not that I wanted to pay for a plane. That would have been stupid, but
no. The whole thing about private is it's better when you don't pay.
It's
right.
But the traveling boys with the baby, it's a lot. So it's really nice when you, if you're either putting it in the back of a car and driving to the desert, which is 2 hours, that's fine. When you have to go through the airports with like pack and plays, so bottles, and then, you know, God forbid I have the coolest baby ever and she doesn't scream on the airplane.
Yeah.
So it's nice. Like, we flew back from Hawaii and we're flying Hawaiian Air, which is a great airline. And she started, wasn't a tit or a bottle that was going to calm her down. Like, you know, if you fly the girl's, you know, baby just sucks on her mom's boob or puts the bottle in her mouth, pops her ears. Nothing was working. And she was screaming for like an hour. And it was the most, all I could think about was
the way home from Florida with Bo.
Yeah, Loophole, yeah. When I fly and with I loops in his day, if there's one baby making one sound, he like,
he's not a fan.
I'm just like, oh man, if there's some Loopholes on this plane, it's gonna get ugly.
That's because Loops is hung over for every flight when he's going home after fucking bed. He's like, fucking screaming, baby. Yeah, that's great. So you guys all have a good trip. That's awesome. I gotta give a shout out to my sister, Katie O'Brien. March 29th was her birthday, which was yesterday. Happy birthday, Katie Koo, we call her. And also, same birthday as my girlfriend's mom, Vicky Carabini. We call it a Vixter. She's amazing. She loves crushing red wine. She listens to the pod. She says we swear too much.
What's up?
So does my mom.
So, Vixter, my sister Katie, today, happy
Jimmy's
birthday.
Jimmy's mom probably says we don't swear enough.
Yeah.
No golf carts till May 1st.
Anyways, into some hockey, boys. This is something that touched me, and Uppy, I know it touched you deep down too, is Tim Peel.
I'm a big push cart guy.
I'm going to lead the charge here on this one. I had Peeler throughout a lot of my career. He was the type of guy that you could talk to throughout the game. You know, yeah, he called some penalties on me throughout my career. I would love to talk to him man to man. He's the type of guy that if he was in the city after the game, I would meet up with him, have a beer with him, especially in Vancouver. You know, he was going to retire at the end of this year either way. You know, what happened wasn't right. You know, the hot mic was a bad situation. Oh. It shouldn't define Tim Peel's career. He was a great ref. He was great for the game. A lot of veteran guys respect him. So to Peeler, keep your head up, buddy. It's a shitty way to end it, but you had a great run. My question to you guys is, makeup calls have been happening throughout hockey history.
Are you doing Peeler another private hot mics. Plane?
But Uppy, you know as a player that if the game is going one way and you're up a couple penalties, they're going to even it out. This is just not Tim Peel. Nice. This is refereeing the game forever. Do you not agree?
Yeah, no, I agree, Obes. I think in all sports, in any sort of
I've seen.
Human competition that is being, you know, ref by a single person or a little group of guys, let's just be honest. There's horrible reffing. There's never perfect reffing.
Never.
So it's impossible to, you just evaluate these guys on the bad calls, you know, and I think good reffing is when they let the guys play and the guys govern themselves. And when you let guys play, you need to have a makeup call here and there because, you know, there might be a situation where, man, we should have let these guys play and then there was a forced call. So now let's just even it up and like just let them play again. What happened to Tim Peel, I don't believe will define his career or the person he is. Long story, but I in Halifax back after World Juniors. Me and Same, Tutu went out to this charity golf classic, and it was great. The Trailer Park Boys were there. Tim Peel was there. Scotty Bowman was there. It was a great group of like hockey guys mixed with actors. And anyway, and Peeler was there just mixing it.
Yeah,
I'm like, who is this guy? They're like, he's an NHL ref. He's mixing. I'm like, he wears these celebrity fucking goggles, you know, in the bar. He would wear like the glasses with the reflections on him. And I'm like, really? This guy has spiky hair and flies. And I was no person to judge. But but then in Nashville, same thing. I see him in the bars. He's having fun. He's, you know, doing his thing. And he's had the shades on again. I'm like, fuck, this guy just wants to be known as the guy that wears the celebrity glasses everywhere. But I always had a good relationship with him. He lived in St. Louis. He's reached out when we started the pod and said he was pumped for me and Obi and he thought it was great. A lot of guys, I don't think, liked him as a ref.
Really?
I listened to Avery.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, he went off on him. Into him. It just so happened Avery was at that tournament.
Avery's a tough guy. I respect Dave. I respect what he's doing now. I respect the way he played. But, I mean, maybe just him and Peeler didn't see eye. Yeah. Like, if you ask me about Justin St. Pierre.
Oh, now I can rip into him.
He's a fucking goof.
Yeah, like, he is a
nice
goof.
Fake tan, you fucking goof.
Yeah.
Right now.
Speaks French the whole game.
Yeah, there may be another guy that doesn't think that way up.
So. Yeah, no. But Justin St. Pierre would make things personal. That's why I would call him a goofball all the time. And I'm like, no one's here to watch you. Yeah. So like, you're fake tan.
Even though you got a nice tan, we're not here to watch you.
No one is here. No, not one person spent one fucking penny to watch you. Mm-hmm. You're just supposed to be here and ref us, and you're part of the game, and you're part of the product. We get it, but like, don't make this about you ever.
I know you're Tim trying to get laid, but fuck.
Tim Pete, yeah, and I can help you with that.
Yeah, we'll put you out after the game.
If you keep me out of the box, I can help you with that. Tim Peel won't be a guy that. Yeah, I said it.
I love Peeler.
Yeah, but he was a man to man guy.
And I say that, but there was nights where I went to Peeler and motherfucked him. Like, I can't believe he called me on that.
Of course.
But at least you could talk to him. And Hazy, before, you know, on a bench, Uppy, throughout your career, that, hey, boys, keep your sticks down. Uppy, keep your hands down.
They're looking to call one on us.
So, Hazy, for people to believe that Tim Peel's the only guy to ever make a makeup call, it's fucking outrageous.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think every player understands a makeup call. And it kind of sucks when you're playing the game and you think the ref is actually reffing the score. But the situation Peeler got in, it's very unfortunate for him to get caught in the hot mic. But it makes you like question, was he doing this all the time? I don't think so. I think every ref kind of has those makeup calls in play. Like, if you're up 7-1 in penalties, you obviously know it's penalty coming your way. But the question I have for you guys is, do you think refs now are going to start calling everything, or do they let everything go?
Well, I've been complaining about it all fucking year. And listen,
Mr. Kirby puts him on the fucking milk carton all day.
I get it. The game's changed.
Yep.
But the thing I have, the only problem I have is these refs, they come out of the gates and they're fucking horny to call it right away Broadway, right? Yeah. And now they call one on Boston. Then they call one on Philly. Now they call one on Boston. And now it's a 60-minute game of power plays. I think if I was involved in the fucking referee association, whatever it's called, Updog, I would say, boys, ease into the game. Don't be so horny to make a call, because I think they do that and they put themselves in situations where it's human nature. You want to make it as fair as possible, but now it's just a parade to the box. And I think that's the worst thing about reffing right now. I get they're going to call the hooks. That's the NHL. That's Bettman and the boys. They have a job to do. But just don't make calls up early, because then you're chasing it all night.
Yeah,
don't
just watch that 1984. Just watch that 1984 Islanders Oilers.
I was laughing.
Watch Charlie Heidi go into the corner and get just cold clocked by one of the Sutter brothers. I agree. I agree. The game, and you listen to like some guys in Sportsnet. I listen to Bieska and Versteeg go at it.
Steger. I go at him with every week with Steger.
And Steger wants the calls and wants, you know, he thinks the referees shouldn't be able to, you know, control the game like that. And I get that to a certain point, but I think the players still need to govern this game. Absolutely. I think it'll forever be a more honorable game when the players are out there governing themselves, and there's toughness and there's, you know, intimidation, and then there's also respect. And
that's the worst feeling. That's in the world. Not that done happened to me on the way home from Florida with Paul.
Yeah. That's my.
I agree. And to Peeler, I don't know if you listen or not. If you do, keep your head up, buddy. I respect you. I know the Updog respect you. I know Getzy did. I talked to Getzy about it when it happened. Keep your head up to the refs. Let the fucking boys play, eh, Broadway? Let them play. We're in the second half of the season here. Call it if it takes away a scoring chance. Call it if it's a penalty. Call it. If not, don't. And if people that don't think there's been makeup calls, it's been since hockey's been created, there's been makeup calls. And I don't think we're going to change that. But Peeler, keep your head up, fella. Boys, Frankie Cervelli said it best. There's a fucking, what did he say?
Oh, that stink.
Stench.
Yeah, stink around Buffalo.
There's a fucking stench.
It's starting to make its way over here.
Fucking dirty Buffalo.
The wind
must
be going west.
Fucking dirty
it's
Buffalo.
Maybe you under the table.
Boys, Oppie, seriously, I feel bad for these guys. They're 0-18 in their last 18. They can't
That's
go
impressive.
Out for, that is impressive. That's hard to do. I mean, they can't go out for beers. They can't go to the mall. They can't go to a movie. Up, Doc, take me in that dressing room if you're a Buffalo guy, right? Are you just saying, boys, let's get through the deadline? I feel for these guys. In a normal year, I would feel for them not being able to enjoy their life. Also, it's got to be wearing on them.
Yeah. Yeah, you might need a gas mask going in that room. It stinks so bad. it's tough. It's tough because there's, you know, there was talk at the start of the year about the Eichel rumors and what that probably could have done to that team and organization, bringing some youth in. But I just look at it from a development standpoint. And when you have seasons like this, your younger players, your Darlene.
Darlene stinks.
But like he had such a great first year where he came in, and all of a sudden you're like, man, this guy's going to be like a headman. And then all of a sudden, not right now. Well, look at what you get to watch this shit every day. You play in your own zone.
Even Lindstrom would look bad on Buffalo.
Yeah. So it's like you have that perfect model, Swedish born fucking Norris candidate defenseman who gets drafted and has this upside. And then all of a sudden you get put in these situations and these guys don't get better. You don't get better. You don't learn from anyone. There's no leadership. There's no, the coaching, like everything is negative, and that's a bad way to live your life. I'm a firm believer in positivity and, coming to the rink with a smile on your face, no matter the good and the bad. If a coach rips you, you find the finer things in the situation to come out of it.
When's payday?
Yeah, totally.
14 days.
And boys, Buffalo, I mean, the only good thing about this is that springtime's coming and the sun's coming up.
They can't even go to Chippewa Street.
Yeah, well, they're soon going to. They're going to break all the rules right away.
I'd be trying to get COVID if I was in Buffalo. I'm sorry. I'd say I'm like, put me on the protocol list. This is fucking...
I don't know, Jimmy. It's maybe you have a different outlook or the same, but this is just a tough way to go. And the shittier thing, you still got like 20 fucking games left.
Yeah. I think after the day, Hazy, what's your thoughts on it?
I'm like, you guys just mentioned it. Like, you can't even come to the rink and joke around and have fun because you're losing. So then, from up top, it's just a bad look for everybody. But the thing in Buffalo is, when do you start sitting your assets? Because you obviously got to start selling these guys here soon. So I don't think the days are going to get any prettier in Buffalo here. I think they're going to have to start sitting guys like Taylor Hall and Montour, because that's the last thing they want is to happen. It's one of these guys go down with an injury and not be able to
Avery's
move
a tough
and get
guy
anything
to
back
go after.
Yeah, I mean, I think Monty's going to get picked up. He's playing great. He scored a sick one last night. Taylor Hall, I mean, if someone gives up a first rounder for Taylor Hall, that GM should be fired immediately. Up dog, let's say you make it past the deadline in Buffalo and you're a veteran guy.
Speaks French
you
and the whole game.
Okay, how after the deadline do we say, okay, boys, let's finish 500? Or how in Buffalo do you make the last part of the season during COVID somewhat enjoyable if you're a veteran guy that makes it past the deadline?
That's a really good question, Obi, and it's tough to answer that. And I'll tell you why from my end is because I was part of a couple teams that were in their rebuilds. But at the deadline, I got there. So I got moved into these situations. And the situation that I would be put in was, okay, I just got to this fresh team. I'm meeting 20 new players, 20 new friends moving forward. This is now the beginning of something new here, and I got to be able to bring like this energy or whatever. And guys, yeah, we got 20 games left. We're out, but let's make the best of it. Yeah. Score goals. Let's go out and have beers.
They can't do that though. That's the thing. Yes. I know. That's the point I'm saying. I agree.
And a lot of these guys are playing for contracts too. So yeah, that's the only way you can look at it, I think, as a veteran, if you're trying to extend your career. You got to perform.
Every player.
Yeah. And then it's like,
and it kind of sucks.
You play for contracts, but then everyone's playing like.
But the situation.
Oh my god! Yeah. You see the worst in guys coming out, and that's where it's like.
No, that's true. I've been on teams like the Walker in Colorado. Guys are just so selfish by the end.
And then it's just so bad. And then you get start mother effing your teammates and being like, really? Are we doing this now? You're not going to pass me the puck. You're going to try to like shoot it. You're going to pull Evander Kane every time you come across the blue line and just shoot the puck. Like so.
Yeah,
the situation, it's hard, but it is going to be on the older guys, and it is going to be on the coaching staff and everyone involved around the organization to just say, like, guys, you know, put a bit, like, stop the bleeding, wrap it up, and get to a new place. Hopefully there is some movement at the deadline for these guys, and they bring in some new players that kind of are like, all right, well, I'm here for 4 more years. You know, there's term on my deal. I just got sent to the shittiest team in the league. You know, I have to, like, try to turn this thing around, and it's not going to start next year. I'm going to try to start it now. So that's, you know, hopefully, like, you know, the culture can turn.
Don't ruin the
I don't
flow.
Think it's going to turn
the
before the deadline, but after the deadline, Obi, you know, there's going to be movement. There's going to be new young players, right? I was always traded. I was younger, you know, Philly to Arizona. I went to Columbus from Arizona. I go Nashville to Philly as a 23-year-old, and the team was stinks. And I'm like, I just came from, like, the best team in Nashville, but I'll bring this little energy in here and we'll have fun. I'll move down to Old City and
And I agree with you, Uppy. And that's the thing, but they can't do that, right? They can't go out for, like, it would be easy if you get through the deadline, you're in Buff, you're like, all right, boys, the weather's getting better.
Yeah, let's go.
Let's finish over 500. Let's win some games. Let's have some team parties. That's not happening. They're got to go home, go to the rink, go to the hotel. I just feel for them. And Broadway, before we move on from Buffalo, I looked at their schedule, obviously, with the East Division we talked about at the start. Should we cut them some slack because of this division, or are the Buffalo Sabres just this bad, in your opinion?
I think they're horrible. Like, look, last night they're up 3-0 going into the third period, and you guys have lost 17 straight.
Play.
You got to find a way to win that game. And you can sit there and blame it on the division that, yeah, they're playing tough teams and whatnot. But then you could go look at the other side of it and look at Ottawa. They got off to a horrible start. I thought they wouldn't even win 10 games, but they're competitive. Like, at least they stay in games. Buffalo, usually, like, last night I was sitting in third period. I'm like, Philly's probably still going to win this game. They have no chance right now.
That
and
it's
a dumpster fire in Buffalo. It's hard to watch, and I feel bad for those fans.
I feel bad for the fan. I love the Buffalo. I like the city of Buffalo. I like Chip Wester, like we've talked about. I just think, you know, I'll be back in the day. Like, if you're on a bad team, you're like, okay, who we got? We got who's bad this year? Let's say San Jose or whatever. Anaheim, maybe, whoever.
That's impressive. But
at the end of their East Coast swing, all right, it's the last trip. They got to come into Buffalo. They're already fucking 1 foot back in California. Buffalo doesn't have that the rest of the way. They got fucking maybe Jersey, but other than that, they got the teams in the East that are going to be fighting for positioning. And then they got Philly, Boston, and Pitt's kind of separated, but Philly, Boston that are fighting for their playoff lives. So I'm just saying, in that perspective, Hazy, they don't get like another stinker.
Yeah, they got no cupcakes. They got a tough schedule. But
like, if they don't beat, I believe it's April 8th, if they don't beat New Jersey that day, I think they might not win another fucking game all year. They got Jersey at home April 8th. But I don't know. Anyways, Buffalo, keep your head up. Fuck, it's almost football season. The Bills are coming out. Fucking Allen's sick. So, up dog, we've taken a lot of heat on Twitter. Hazy, you're a good American boy. You know, we're the Canadian guys on Twitter taking some heat. They think we're kind of dumb about, you know,
I'll keep letting them
out. Yeah, about the COVID and we're idiots and blah, blah, blah.
Prime Minister's listening to you guys, though.
Trudeau, I think, listened to Mr. Curfew for sure. They changed it from 14 to 7 days for the trade deadline. Real quick, Uppy, I still don't think it's perfect, but it's going to help these teams. We saw Eric Staal. We're going to talk about that. But it's a step in the right direction for these Canadian GMs.
Yeah, it is. It's going to help movement. It's going to help you Canadians up there fix your teams if you want a playoff push.
Yeah,
so
fuck,
I don't know what you guys are
with the cup.
I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Yeah, what are they bitching about? Doesn't everybody want
it's this new strain that everyone's
up
scared
John
about.
O'Brien should not lead a country. And then one guy said there's 4,000 more new cases in Florida. I didn't respond.
Sweet.
But my point is, listen, these guys work hard their entire life to get a chance to win the Stanley Cup. If you're Edmonton Oilers, Toronto Leafs, Winnipeg Jets. I think it's a step in the right direction. I think it will allow these GMs to make trades more than it would with the 14-day up-down.
Yeah,
it
just
only a month left.
It should just be the same across the league, and it should be the same in U.S. and Canada. That's where I'm coming from.
Yeah,
is if
I'm with you.
If the league puts together this protocol and it's worked, no one's took a digger yet. Yeah. That they should, with the protocols in place, be able to govern. Yeah. I mean, they fly on private planes. They're not allowed to go out.
Day.
They're tested like, twice a day.
You guys just mentioned you can't even come to the rink and joke around.
Yeah,
and
the trade deadline. Don't screw up the trade deadline.
From up top, it's just a bad.
I mean, play some hockey. Drop the puck.
They're going to screw up the next season, too. But anyways, Canada, good on you. The listeners out there, keep chirping.
You
love it. We couldn't run a country, but.
So
nor would we want to.
We couldn't even run a team, to be honest with you. But Broadway, let's move on to a guy that we had found out from.
Run a good after party. Hopefully.
Yeah, we could throw a fucking shake on.
That's what's important.
For damn sure.
Ryan Getzlaf, who we have found out because of this podcast, is your favorite player of all time, which we're going to set up a golf round whenever you can get out here. Fighting again. He's tied with.
Fighting.
He's tied with the French guy, Delorier. No.
Yep, Delorier. You said it right.
Delorier, yeah.
Team league in fights.
He's tied with the team in fights. What are your thoughts on Getzy chucking him? Is this him proving to a team like Vegas, I want out? Or is this to him being to these young Ducks, this Shane ain't good enough?
Both of those points. And I think it just goes to show you that he is one of the best leaders in hockey. He doesn't have to be fighting these guys. Somebody took a run at Zegras the other night. That's Sosi, I think his name is. Getzlaf steps right in there. And I think he's just showing his value still at his age, what he can do in this game. And someone is going to be calling to see if he is available. And he's going to be a huge fit for whatever team wants him if he wants out. And I think that's what he's doing. He's just showing his true character and the type of leader and player that he still is.
Yeah, I just want to say, like, hey, kids, have a look at what Getzlaf does. Yeah. If that doesn't fucking put your – if that doesn't make you, like, you know, tighten your – ball sack up and go like, man, I need to do more. Our team stinks and it's not, I don't want to look down and be like, oh, I'm playing better than this guy. Or I'm playing better than this guy. So it's not on me. You know that feeling.
For sure.
Where you're like, when things aren't going well and all of a sudden one guy starts taking things in his own hands and it's your best player. It's your, you know, your franchise captain. Yeah. A guy that's done it on, a guy that's done it on every level and he's going out and doing that. And you're not like sacking up and going and at least trying to run someone over or play like on edge and do something that's going to stand out and make you look like you actually give a flying fuck. I don't know. To me, I would be saying it like, you know, I was vocal in the room. I would be looking around and telling guys. Comtois,
for example.
Now's the time you start calling guys
take
out.
Take that tinted visor off and you start fucking chucking them so your 35-year-old captain with a cup and fucking gold medals doesn't have to fucking do it every night.
Yeah.
But maybe Max doesn't do that to his defense. And for Getzy, good on you, man.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah,
good on
it's
you. Awesome. And I think, listen, Vegas, I think it's a fit. Make it happen. This, I think he's doing it for two reasons, what I said. Show these young kids this is why the Ducks do it. And also Broadway, that he's got some fight left in him. And I think Getzy's got one more good playoff run in him. And I hope he's willing to do it, Broadway.
I do too, because I think he's a guy that I would just love to watch in the playoffs. He's too good of a player, too good of a leader to not be playing in the playoffs.
Well said. Getzy, we love you here at Mr. Curfew. Can't wait to take your money on the golf course. Updog, just real quick on the fighting. It's up this year. Is that just because of in-division play, COVID, playing each other at the same time? Or is this a trend you think we'll see... You know, kind of full circle, like it was our era was fighting, then it went cold and now it seems to be back. Is it something that you think can continue?
Yeah, I do. I think it's an exciting time for hockey. I think, you know, once fans, the one thing that a fan would get up for, no matter what, whether they knew the game or not,
tea time, baby,
isn't icing or it's not, you know, a referee calling a tripping penalty.
It's not a fucking holding
call. It is two guys dropping their mitts, pulling their elbow pads off, ripping their helmets off, and just going toe to toe.
Yeah.
And what we've saw is it's made its comeback. And for hockey, it's great. For fans, it's great. When fans start to go in the buildings again, knowing that they might, you know, show up to a fight and hockey broke out type mentality.
I think it's excellent.
It gives us something to put on our podcast, something on our Instagram. Princey's been all over the fights.
Princey's the biggest meathead at Mr. Curfew, by the way.
Yeah,
he loves it.
No, I know he does.
Good for you, Princey.
He likes the poon too.
I'm with you, Uppy. I think it's going to continue. And a quick shout out to this Curse Gabriel kid. He's been kind of interacting with Mr. Curfew.
Yes.
Yeah. And you know what? He said something funny. He's like, you know what? I know I got, you know, didn't win every fight I've been in. And that's the mentality you got to have if you're going to do it the way he's doing, especially. If you're going to go out of your way to challenge everyone that's tough in the league, be a meat stick and warm up, which I love, you're going to have to take some heat from the fans, especially in this day. So, Curtis Gabriel, good on you, buddy. We appreciate you making the game a little more fun.
Fuck, he's going full meat sauce, isn't he?
He's going full.
He's embracing for himself. He's embracing the meat.
He's embracing the meat. Yeah. Bigger in style back in the day, just drooling over the red line.
Yeah, like, and he's not shying away from anyone, really. He's like, I mean.
He'll fight anyone.
Anybody. Anyone. It's crazy.
He fights the puck a bit out there, too. He fights the puck a bit out there, too, Broadway.
Yeah, I tripped him a little bit. No cupcakes. They got a tough schedule. Kind of like doing it for show. But, I mean, he's. he's making the game exciting. I didn't want to give him any credit, but I guess I got to give him some credit here. Wow.
As Uppy would say, he's making hockey cool again. Boys, I love the fight. Keep it up, boys. A little segment, Canadip's milk carton. Our buddies at Canadip's, I got a lip boomer in right now, Updog. Fuck, are they good?
The
they
lip boomers
nice,
are the
man.
Best.
I hope, I mean, I'm chewing these more than I ever chewed real chew, so it's good. CBD, it's good for you. Relaxes
That's
me.
Good thing, old.
I mean, yeah, relaxes
not
me.
Even that, they're not that expensive no. either. So it's not bad.
Honestly, though, chewers out there, this has completely made me quit chewing. And I chewed Uppy since I was 16 years old. So,
yeah. Wow.
Canadip's lip boomer milk carton. Broadway, let's start with you. You're going to take someone off the milk carton. You had the balls to put your bro on there, and you got him going once again. Just talk about pulling Hazy off the milk carton.
He answered the bell, and I loved it. I told you I was doing about? It to get Doesn't him going, and he's points? Going. I think he's got 4 points in his last three games. And you know what? People are starting to DM me. They want certain players on. They want me to leave certain, you know, keep putting guys on the milk carton. Because whenever I do it, it's been the milk carton effect, and they're starting to produce. And couldn't be happier that I had to put my brother on it, and then he goes out and performs.
It's true. They're asking for Hazy to put people on the
They're
fucking.
Begging
they are,
for it.
Right?
Now.
Yeah.
I mean, so who, yeah.
So he's taken Kevin Hazy. And Kevin, listen, he bounced back. He played great last night against Buffalo, had a nice snipe. Who you want to put someone on the milk carton up, dog? Who are you chucking on there?
I'm going to throw on, you know what? The Battle of Alberta's been there, right? And there's been some big games. And I feel like, you know, Sutter came in, and we'll touch on Sutter and we'll touch on this Calgary Flames. Yeah. But there's some guys on Calgary that just are they're supposed to be doing more and they haven't been. And, you know, Matthew Tkachuk, who plays in your face style of hockey, Sutter's way. I feel like he still needs to do more. He needs to be a guy that's putting the puck in the net, and you know he's on my milk carton. And if he turns it around and Calgary gets in, I'd like to see Calgary. I'd like to see an Edmonton Calgary battle.
I would love to see that.
We need it.
It would be epic. But I will throw out this because give the milk carton aside. He's the first NHL player to release an NFT, did it for charity back in St. Louis for Kids Hospital. NFT, yep, boys, is a form of digital art. Yep. And he did a one-of-one charity auction item, which I think is super cool. And not that any of us really know what the fuck this is. Obi, you and I talk Bitcoin sometimes. And we're like, what the
fuck? It's above my pay grade, up dog.
Both of those points.
So NFT, it's stored in a digital world on a blockchain. When you buy it and you own it, you can display it on either TV screens and make it look cool, or it's forever yours. And anytime it gets traded or sold,
at his age,
the artist
what he can do in this game
will always
and
make a cut. So there's a reason why artists are jumping into this world of NFT because it's protection on their masterpieces or whatever, their crafts. Now, the NHL, the NBA, MLB, all these companies now are releasing these forms of art to kind of create like a cool thing and make money on it and either do it for charities or whatever. So you can find it all. Like LeBron James dunks, Tom Brady throws.
Can they do a milk carton one for us or what?
Yeah, you should be the first podcast to do it. First podcast to do an NFT.
NFT milk carton with fucking Tkachuk on it.
I don't know who's buying that one.
No, that's good that he did that for charity, up dog. For me, I'm going to take a little page out of Broadway's book here. I'm going to put somebody on the milk carton. I'm putting a team on, and this hurts me because you guys know how much I love their fucking captain. I'm putting the St. Louis Blues on the milk carton. They cost me money. They cost me twice against the Ducks. They had a 2-goal lead. I had to put up 2-1 odds. They cost me.
I didn't even think about
it. I joined you that night.
You're right.
I know. I'm sorry, Hazy. They've been banged up. They're getting lots of scoring chances. I'm putting the St. Louis Blues on the milk carton out of love that it's time for these guys to get going.
Yeah.
If they're not careful, the Arizona Coyotes could pass them. The Coyotes are going on a long road trip here, but hopefully it works like Hazy. I'm putting the St. Louis Blues. Fact Daddy, I love you. Blues, it's time to get going, up dog. We need them in the playoffs. They're a playoff team. I've said this.
Yeah, awesome.
If they get in, they will be a tough out. But ups, they got to get in.
They have an uphill battle, bud. I say that because if you look at their schedule, and for any hockey fan out there who understands like how important scheduling is, especially towards the end of the year, they play the top three teams in the division for 85% of their games.
Too good of a player.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, the Phoenix Coyotes, who are 2-3 points behind them right now,
not even
play They're probably tied almost.
Let me look. Keep going.
They have games against the toilet teams.
The toilet bowl teams.
and I mean the Kings, you know, the Kings, the Sharks. Yep. Who else?
Sharks are playing better. Ducks.
The Sharks are playing teams tough. Sharks right are playing now. Better. But I get your point though. You're not playing the Arizona, top dogs.
Sorry, Hot Hazy. Arizona is 1 point behind St. Louis with the same amount of games.
Yeah, so it's not going to be easy. Now, do I think they can do it? Yes, because they have a good team.
They're going
to
get in.
They need to get healthy. They need Parayko back. He's a beast. They need Thomas to, you know, get back to his stride and be that like good third line center for them. They need help, but yeah.
I'll tell you who doesn't want them to finish fourth is the Vegas Golden Knights, because if the Blues do get in and that championship feel comes back, the Vegas Knights like, fuck. But I think Colorado's going to win that West, so... Yeah, milk carton, Canada Dips milk carton. Updog, we talked about it earlier. We talked about it when this guy got hired.
He loves
Darryl
it.
Sutter. I was licking my chops for post-game interviews. Hazy, and he hasn't fucking let me down. He comes out and says his players were fucking dopey.
What does that mean?
I don't fucking
know. Were you smoking fat?
They were snoozing out there.
Smoking fatty, playing some video games.
Yeah, so I saw that, and then obviously he parlayed that, and this is where I want you guys... about Johnny Hockey, he says, I hope he has more energy. He's playing his 500th game, like everyone knows. I hope he has more energy than he did in his 499th. I thought it was hilarious, but from a player's perspective, if I was playing my 500th game and some coach said that, what were your thoughts, Ops? Can this guy...
He's making a name for himself.
Is he made for hockey nowadays? Or is he in one?
Maybe I'm just lucky that I wasn't that good enough that the coach would just rip me in the media.
Stayed on the right radar.
Pad my bank account and, you know, my stats when you get those empty net cookies and you're always out on the PP? That would have been great. Like, but show, as a top player on your team, when things aren't going well, you get called out. And Darryl Sutter's one guy that has done it for years. His whole family, all of his brothers do. Brent Sutter and Junior used to call it his players and Junior and rip. He used to get in FU matches with me all game long. I was playing in Kamloops. This is the makeup of them. They're tough farm boys. This is not a surprise how he is. And so I love his interviews. I can't necessarily say the message is going to, you know, get across to these younger guys as well as it probably did 10 years ago, Obi.
Yeah.
You know, and... Our boy Carcillo,
touch on that.
Yeah,
touch
our boy Carcillo made it known publicly via Twitter that Darryl Sutter and Darryl Sutter's ways are he's not a big fan. Yeah. And you know, whether it's feeding your team if they don't play well on the airplane,
or
melting off, you know, he doesn't think that there's any room for that in the game of hockey anymore. Now,
you know, people are
Darryl Sutter's trying to get the best out of his team, and he's lighting fires under some guys' asses. And I don't think he's.
Whenever I do it,
I don't think he's doing it behind any of their backs. He's doing it right in front of them, and that's I can understand that. If he was doing it, he was doing shady shit like Babcock and pulling things on younger guys within the group. That's an issue, but. I don't mind him calling guys out. And Jimmy, you and I have both been ripped in front of the team big time.
More than once.
And we take it like a man and you move on. And well, I was able to move on. I don't know if a lot of these kids can, but we'll see what happens. Let's see how they react. But their team
Johnny Hockey moved on. He didn't even, like, I remember the next day the reporter kind of asked him about it. And I think Johnny went out and scored or had an assist, had a decent game. And it's just like, was that the motivation? He wouldn't acknowledge it. He wasn't going to give the coach any credit, which I think is great. You know, he said it simply. He's like, I've been playing hockey for 24, 25 years. I know when I'm playing well. I know when I'm playing bad. But, yeah, I mean, it always sucks to get called out. But the one thing is with Darryl Sutter is that team started 4-1. Now they're 1-5 with Darryl Sutter there. So they're below 500. I don't know. Is Darryl Sutter starting to panic? Is he trying to assist this new – method trying to call guys out? And is that the right thing to do?
Say this. I don't agree with the way he went about it for the kids' 500th game. But I think Johnny Hockey...
It's only 500.
Fuck, I only got 540. And when you get 500, you're like, you take a sigh of relief.
He's young. This Johnny, I mean, you played a hard 500. He doesn't 500. He doesn't get hit or hit anyone.
And that's my point. I don't agree with what he said. Listen, I think Johnny Hockey's talent is...
Yeah, he should play till he's fucking 45.
He's a great guy from what you've told me. I'd like to sit down and get drunk with him. But I think his time in Calgary is up. I thought it was up last year. And Hazy, do you think there's a chance that Johnny Hockey gets traded here at the deadline? Or do you think it's going to happen this summer? But 100%, in my opinion, he's not a Calgary Flame next year.
I do not think he's going to get traded at the deadline just because I think Calgary is trying to make that push to get into the playoffs, and you can't trade one of your best players if not your best player. But like we said last summer, where there's smoke, or was it? Yeah, where there's smoke, there's a fire, and his name is rumored to be getting dealt. And you know, if that's true, he brings back a huge package, and I think that his days in Calgary are coming to an end here soon.
Yeah, they need to shuffle the deck. And I love Sean Monahan, and maybe Monty has to go. I don't know.
They haven't done anything with them, so you almost
It's just, it's no disrespect to either one of those guys. It's time for a change. Gio, I love Gio. He's getting a little long in the tooth. You know, they give Markey that big contract. I just don't know if Calgary, and I love Brad Treliving, but I don't
a
know.
A permanent milk car and put the Buffalo Sabres on it?
It wouldn't. I don't think he's going to get traded either, but it wouldn't surprise me. I don't know who's buying that one, though. April 12th, you know, Goudreau was traded. It wouldn't surprise me, but I think it's going to happen in the offseason. So, boys, last topic here before we bring on our fucking legendary guest. Aaron Ekblad, kid that you guys know really well, kid that I know a little bit. Terrible injury, Uppy. Just your thoughts on the injury, and then your thoughts on a guy that they could bring in because Florida's going to have to make a trade here.
Yeah, it's really upsetting. Speaking from the heart, because I've been hurt before and got news that your season's over. And you know, when you're having a great year, and you know you know that you're on a great team, you have a chance to win. It happened to me in Phoenix. Couldn't have been playing better, playing great minutes with great line mates on a team that was like leading the division, and then all of a sudden like your knee pops and you're done, and then you're like, shit, okay, I got 16 weeks of rehab and let's go. And for a guy like Ekblad, he's never had any major injuries, and he is a great guy and a great piece to that team, and he's made strides this year. And you listen to some of the quotes lately from Quenneville is like, yes, he's always had his upside as as an offensive defenseman, especially when he came to us. He was an all-star at 18 or 19, did it again the next year. But his, you know, the defensive play, you know, in his own zone in front of his net was a little bit like, you know, he didn't use his big body, but he's made those strides, and he's become the player that a full-rounded player that he needed to be, which is why the Florida Panthers have been so good this year. And it's tough. He sent me a picture of the X-ray.
I get your point.
Fucking
you're
gnarly.
Not playing
and
the
he's never, geez, yeah, he's never been hurt like this. And all I can say is, you know, we're thinking about you. And and your body does amazing things and heals itself, right? Like that's the one thing when you get hurt, you'd like question, like, man, am I ever going to be able to do this again? And you know, in the back of your head, you have doubt. But I think this guy is going to come back as good as new. Feeling as good as he ever has, whether he's got a rod and a bunch of nails in his leg or not, he's still going to be Aaron Ekblad, a new Aaron Ekblad, maybe a stronger, faster one, and that's a message I want to send him. But I think, Obi, to answer your question, I think they're going to grab a defenseman.
Yeah,
Brandon Montour looks like the perfect kid.
Yeah, I got this. Yeah, I agree.
We haven't talked about that yet, but he skates as good as any defenseman on the market. They need the right shot. They have a bunch of lefties. They do have Uyghur back there. I don't know if he's a guy to take all Aaron Ekblad's minutes, but
no. So they're going to have to collectively do it. But I think Brandon Montour would be a nice fit up. So
yeah, and Monty's a great kid. I think he would fit the room good. Jans, if he doesn't know him yet, he's, you know, they'd fit well. And I wish the Florida Panthers the best of luck. I think they've had a great year. That city down there, it's buzzing. Florida's going off. No Covey.
No, good red state.
And and quite frankly, I'd like to see them. I like to see them add there because I think they have a great shot this year.
Yeah, Uppy, that was well said. With another Ekblad radar. You hate to see those types of injuries, especially when he's having a Norris type season. He's turning into that player they drafted number one overall. Like you said, he's always had that offensive upside. But his defensive play is making strides. And I think another big thing, too, is you've seen he's becoming a leader. He's become a go-to guy. That locker room really appreciates him. So I hate seeing injuries, especially ones that are end of season when a team like that's going to probably make a decent run here. But the one guy that I think who could come in and help, I don't think he's Aaron Ekblad, but I think Colin Miller is a guy who might be able to come in there. He's a guy that's got a heavy shot. He is a right shot. And I play with him in Boston. He can run in power play, so it's tough. Think he might be able to come in and slide well in there with the Florida Panthers.
Yeah, he'd be a nice fucking physical addition. For me, Ekki, rest up, but it was terrible to see. He was having a Norse trophy type of year, which is terrible. I think they got enough veteran guys there to kind of hold the fort. They need a guy, Montour, with his term And that's a perfect fit for me. And yeah. I'm going to throw another guy out here. I think he makes too much, but maybe a PK Subban. I don't know. Veteran guy, right shot.
Then you're stuck with him, though.
Then you're stuck with him. So I think Montour is the guy. But to Ecky, rest up, buddy. That was a terrible injury. Having a great year. He's a good kid. You guys know him better than me, but we're going to wish him the best. And then Updog, we got our last segment here. The Good Life, little Good Life segment on the Norris Trophy. I think we're going to, similar to the Hart, we may all agree on the same fucking
unanimous.
Yeah, I think it's Victor Hedman for me right now as the North, with a shout out to Tyson Berry. But I think it's Victor Hedman. I think he should win it every year.
More than once, the best defenseman on the planet,
if you ask me.
Yeah, he is. But I'm going to just throw this out there because I've called this guy out. Actually,
Johnny Hockey moved on. He didn't even, but I got thrown a question on my radio show with Gregor.
I think Johnny Nurse scored or had an assist, and it's just like, was that the motivation? What's Darnell Nurse doing for the Edmonton Oilers? And quite frankly, I was like, which I think is great. He's not doing enough at the time. I was like, he's not a top two D man. They paid him like one. I don't think he is. And then right away they cut me off and they're like, well, he does lead like in shot attempts and power play minutes and all this stuff. And I'm thinking, oh, okay, so maybe he is better than I expect. And I love Darnell Nurse. I skated with him in the summers at camp. He when I was in Edmonton was like, Updog, this is what the group is like. Like he has control of the group and he's a good leader, but he has been scoring goals at will. He scored an overtime goal last night. He's coming up on the rush, mind you. He passes the puck to McDavid and you just have to just stay on the ice to get points. Basically keep your stick on the ice. He is playing unbelievable right now. And if he keeps it up and the Edmonton Oilers continue to get better and they continue to play defensive hockey, Darnell Nurse for me is a guy that will be in the candidates.
A finalist.
And he's close.
Good life. I'm telling you. Good life finalist.
Broadway, what do you got, baby?
Trying to make that push. Oops, I'm going to jump on the boat with you, and I'm going to Dick one Hedman. I just think this guy, to be that big and to be that smooth, to be on the best team, continue to have the success he has, it's so impressive. And I think he's a guy that's going to be like a Nicholas Lindstrom and win multiple Norris trophies in his career.
Coming to an end here soon.
I agree. And fuck, he's got good hair.
Darnell Nurse has 12 goals right now.
12 goals, yeah.
They haven't done anything with him, so you almost
got Hedman's got 33 points, so. Tyson Berry, 32 points. Adam Fox, that guy has 11.
Adam Fox has been unbelievable.
Has 11 points in 4 games, Adam Fox. One goal, the Flyers. Yeah, against the Flyers.
Adam point night. It's needless to say, Adam Fox.
Adam Fox. That's a good life. Norris Trophy candidates. Updog, top titty. Shout out. Who was the top titty winner?
Listen,
Jonathan Spady. Spader. 135.90 points. Kicked my ass. Kicked your ass, Updog.
Yeah, I didn't quite have the best week with the DraftKings Friday night action, did I?
Shout out to Broadway. Was the winner here at Hall Pass, 105.
Yeah, that's Maxie, a participation trophy.
The man behind the fucking camera, the man that keeps us together, Maxie, 95 points. Flowers, fuck off.
Great team.
I was
Hall beat me. I love Hall. He's a basketball guy.
Yeah, he is a basketball guy. So he's got some fantasy games.
He's got some fantasy games.
I was hoping, like, I looked at my lineup, man. I was like, I thought getting a deal on Noah Hanifin was great. My boy Shaddy, I had him on the back end. This Zegras just hasn't done it for me yet, so I don't know why I picked him. But, Ovi did it for me.
Yeah, Ovi was hot. It was fun.
Samsonov
Jonathan
was my guy.
Jonathan Spady, congratulations. We're going to do it again this Friday, Updog. Bring it on. We had a lot of people do it. Hopefully some more will continue because it's fun to put your squad together and gives you something to do.
This is important. We got some big games this weekend, too. We got the Oilers, Flames, fucking Battle of Alberta Obes.
Seems like the Battle of Alberta is every fucking night, but I love it.
And then to top it off, Maple Leafs, Jets for you Northern guys. Well, it's like
the Jets are going to just kick the shit out of the Leafs and shut up all the Leafs fans. I'm telling you, that Jets is the best team in the North.
Blues, Avalanche. Things aren't getting easier for the
poor
Blues.
St. Louis Blues in the Mile High City with those Avalanche.
And you can't go have the Coors Lights.
Bennington's going to earn.
I got a player up my sleeve too on Arizona that I'm taking this week. Good. I'm not going to reveal who it is. But he's on Arizona.
Point night for them playing the Ducks.
Gibson's back though. Gibson's back.
Gibson's back, but he's going to have a sore back from having to fucking scrape the pucks out of the back of his net.
Sharks Kings. That should probably be a snoozer. That could go under. Take the under in that one. I don't know if we're fucking doing that, but Capitals Devils, Ovi, man. This guy is going to score over 30 goals again.
I know.
He's got like...
He's a legend.
Will he win the Rocket Richard? Will he beat Matthews?
At the rate that he's scoring, I mean, Matthews had a sick goal the other night, but Ovechkin, it seems like he scores every night. He's been... What he's doing this year is...
I think
so
he's finally just in shape too, right? Like
he looks like he's in shape. Other than when he stands there in the power play, that's a stride.
Took him fucking 2-3 months, but I think he's in shape. So here we go. Top titty Friday up dog.
Yeah.
Capitals, Devils, Leafs, Jets, Flames, Oilers, Blues, Avalanche. Come on, Blues. Sharks, Kings, Coyotes, Ducks.
Promo code Curfew Kings.
Curfew Kings.
And listen, it's our top titty league. It's a fantasy app. We need you to log on. We were not close to the money this week.
Up dog. We got
me and you might have to sit down and read.
I was in the toilet bowl.
We were getting drunk on the golf course. So I mean, we were so worried about just signing up on the Friday, right? We figured it out. Though Princey helped us. Up here, we're gonna send the winner, Jonathan Spaley. I think we should send him a this guy fuck shirt.
Yeah, we should.
So Jonathan, every week we'll send it.
Hit us in the DM.
Hit us in the DM. Top Titty League Friday. I think boys, we have an unbelievable guest coming up right now. Oh, God, but, that I used to battle
Colin
up.
Miller
you
is a guy
drunk
who might
with.
Be able to come in there.
I've known this guy forever, man. Shot. When I grew up, he was actually a badass. Like, you consider him a farm boy from where he was from in Alberta, but he was big, and he was strong, and he ended up making the NHL at 18, and he had a long career, played over 1,200 games, boys. He's a legend.
1,200, wow.
So stay tuned for that. Welcome back to Mission Curfew. Up dog, you got another great guest for us today. One of your former teammates and a guy that I battled every now and then after a whistle here or there. But tell our listeners who you got on.
Yeah, I think everyone battled with this guy. Yeah, this handsome Northern Albertan. This guy played 1,249 games, Obes.
Wow.
So he had
a lot of games.
He had a lot of PIMs. Yeah, he doubled that in PIMs almost. 1,800 PIMs. An NHL all-star, but an all-star on and off the ice all the time. Sixth overall in 2000. Sixth overall, not a bad pick.
Same as you, right?
Not a bad pick. Wow. A guy that, first time I ever landed in Nashville as a young kid, he picked me up. He took me for lunch, had a glass of wine with me. Kind of said, this is what life's going to be like for you now moving forward, and we're happy to have you here. But a gentleman who I consider a really good friend and one of my best teammates ever, Mr. Scott Hartnell. Scotty Hartnell, how are you, buddy?
What's up, fellas? Good to see you guys.
Yeah, bud. You're looking fresh, Hartsy. Good haircut, bud.
Thank you.
You're looking lean. Is that for TV?
Shower? Yeah, well, I was going to say, I've always, like my beers and pasta on the road. I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to be after I quit playing, right? But I've been playing lots of tennis and I've kind of stayed around my playing weight, I guess, about 220.
I wish I could say the same, Hartsy, but well, no. Hartsy, you ever play, me and Oppie play a lot of pickleball. You said tennis. Have you ever played pickleball?
A few times, yeah. I love the game. Pickleball is the same thing. It's strategy. It's kind of knowing your opponent, what his weaknesses are, try and get them moving, and just having a good time. I got a good few people that I play here in Haddonfield and just outside of Philadelphia. So I absolutely love it. If I didn't have tennis, I don't know what because I can't run. I don't want to go to a gym and work out. Like I'm not that guy. So tennis is a perfect fit.
Yeah. When you got a TV gig and you do, and we'll talk about that, you got to kind of stay looking sharp. You got to have, you got to keep your hair tight. You can't grow this greasy beard mustache all the time. Jeez, when you're on national TV all the time, it keeps you active. But you talk about strategy. You were one of my favorite guys to sit on the plane with and throw the cards around, Hartsy.
Oh.
A poker guy since day one. You got me into it. You're one of the most competitive guys. Who would you say in your days playing cards was the best poker player?
I hate to say it. I hope I know he listens to it. You guys had him on there, but probably Carbomb, Dan Carcillo.
Wow.
He always just knew how to read guys. He would always call when you're bluffing. You couldn't bluff him out of a pot. Played with probably the best question is who is the worst guy?
I know who you're going to tell now. Yeah.
Who's the few terrible guys that were like, Jordan Tutu.
Oh, fuck.
This is terrible.
You'd go all in and he's looking at his cards and he's got the ace, king, queen, jack, and all you need is any of those or a 10, right? And he's like, I call. I got pocket twos. Ah, oh,
We would call him betting toots. It was standard that he'd be in a two or three rebuys before the plane would even take off. Oh, like, yeah, before the engine even turned on. Fucking double rebuy. But yeah, toots is good. We had Bizzle on. So we had Bizzle with us in Tahoe. He came on the live podcast. But when we go back to our Nashville days, Bird Dog, I mean, we were young. And Nashville's changed so, like, you know, it's changed. Obi was young, too, when he played there. But met a lot of good people there. A place I always said I'd go back and live. Shit, I bought your condo at the time when I played there.
Yeah, you did.
He rinsed me on that one. But do you still keep in touch with some people back in Nashville? What a great city. I know it holds a special place in our heart, but have you been back there lately?
I was back the year after I retired. They did an honoring night for me there, dropped the puck with my son, and saw some of the guys. Chris Mason, I talked to a little bit. Hal Gill played with him for the Flyers, and now he lives down there and does the radio color. So a few of those guys I keep in contact. Joe Hansen, Yossi text those guys every once in a while. Now they're winning games. They actually respond to you. Yeah, that's totally.
Crazy how that works.
Oh, I know. But no, those guys are such great guys. In the city, yeah, it's totally changed. If you would have told me that, you know, not only every bar on Broadway, but they're building up on all the bars. So that instead of two stories, now it's three or four and a rooftop patio. It's just absolutely insane. But yeah, definitely some good times here when we were younger. There's the old Humpton Inn.
The Humpton Inn, yeah.
I stayed there when I got traded. I stayed there.
I did a lot of humping at the Humpton Inn. Yeah. Oh my God. That was hilarious. It was just this little tiny shitty hotel right beside the practice rink. They had a Jersey Mike's beside it, so you get a sub.
I ate there too much.
No, that's great. The tin roof was the tin roof is a special place. In fact, Jimmy always wears the tin roof 2 hat that Bizzle gave him.
Yeah.
Shit, we grew up in there, Hartnell. I think I learned to do shots, put a bucket on my head, and get up and play music all at the same time.
He's still doing that today, too, by the way.
It's so good. Like, you know, afterwards you just go grab something quick, you know, meet you at the roof in, 30 minutes, and we'd be there at, like, you know, game would end at 10:30. We'd be there a quarter after 11 and, you know, I'd be a few hours of drinking and having a good time, just being idiots. But, you know, it's amazing that you're all done. You're like, oh, what was the, you know, best time of my, you know, career? It's all the stuff with the guys, right? Okay, I'll meet you here, meet you there on the road. You know, you talk about the cards on the plane and the dinners the night before big games and stuff. That's the stuff that jumps out to me that you miss the most.
Yeah, people think about my and Vancouver. I'd say Nashville was the city. I was only there for 1 year, but where I drank the most. Just because, like, you leave the rink after practice and the weather's nice. You know you can go to, like, Tin Roof or Winners or Losers, cheap beers, live music. It was such a great city, Hartsy. And my question, when you saw them go to the Stanley Cup Finals in that city from where it came when you first went there to then, it blew me away. And I was only there for 1 year. You must have been, like, really blown away by that, right?
Ridiculous. So there's a picture from, I don't know if it was from a drone up on Broad Street, and it was like the sea of yellow, right? And everyone's partying, and it's like Vegas nowadays. Like, you have so much energy in that city, you know, pre-gaming, you know, from noon to seven, and everyone's, you know, drunk going into the games, and then they're just loud, electric. You win, you go back on Broadway for another 4 or 5 hours. You could probably only do a couple days in there before you the body would start shutting down. But it's just a great place to play, great people, nice people, and the best part about it, like, they have all the country music stars, and people just leave them alone. You know, the Keith Urban, you know, he's at Starbucks, and people, you know, say, hey, you know, but they're not asking for pictures, bugging them, you know, kind of hassling them. It's a bunch of cool people down there.
Hartsy, I'm just curious, when you first came to Nashville, and obviously the way you played and in people's face, who was the one guy, veteran guy, that maybe took you under your wing and showed you off the ice and to become the teammate that you turned into?
Yeah, Cale Hulse comes to mind. He was there a few years. We lived in the same apartment complex, a bunch of he was a beauty. He was a little bit of a playboy himself back in the day, but
and then he married one. And then he married one.
Yeah. But I hung out. There wasn't many guys my age, right? It was an older league then, right? So everyone was 25s with kids, and you know, then there was, you know, the mid 30s, Bill Holder, Greg Johnson, God rest his soul, and a few of those guys. So I kind of chummed with everybody a little bit older than me. So it was kind of fun to hear their stories and all the stuff that they do, or, you know, their kids. And Cliff Ronning was a guy that chummed around with as well. So that was just seeing those guys and how long they've been around the league. It was pretty cool to hear all those stories. And I think that they were good to me back then, that I was able to be good to young guys when I was a little bit older in my career.
Hartsy, you'll love this. Fucking, you bring up the name Bill Holder. Trotsky in practice, you speak. Yeah. Hey, oh, do you know who you remind me of? I'm like, who's that? Fucking Bill Holder. I'm like, I don't think that's a compliment,
where,
Trotsky.
Yeah, where are my handlebars? I didn't drive in on my Harley.
I had to Google him. I'm like, off it looks like a beauty. Out,
Bird Dog, do you? Specialty. My first year, Bird Dog, our practice rink, I'd show up to practice some days. There'd be six Harleys in the parking lot. They'd all come humming in from Franklin on their Harleys. It'd be like him, Clark Wilm. Was it Hulse?
Players were rocking Harleys?
Volkoon had a Harley.
Volkoon had one. He had a V-Rod, actually, at the same bike I ended up buying. But Billy Holder was hilarious.
Was he there when you were there?
Yeah, I was first year he was there. Bird Dog, do you remember my first trip to New York? It was actually my first year. I was 19. My first road trip in the NHL, my first game was Long Island. Then we went and played Marty Brodeur and the Devils. And then we went in and had like two nights off in New York City, and we had the green light, and I had no idea what a green light meant. And sure enough, I tag along with Brent Gilchrist and Clark Willem, and they take me to this bar, Hogs and Heifers. That was in Meatpacking District before Meatpacking District was what it was. And I walk in and I'm in my shirt, I'm in a suit and tie, and I look like I had the fucking blonde curls, and I was a young upshot.
Yeah, yeah.
And this fucking coyote ugly bartender stands up on the bar with her that xylophone thing. And she has the hose on the fucking thing, and she just starts launching me with whatever water, and starts calling me out. Look at this little playboy in here, blah, blah. But we had practice the next day, which is like the green light, the day after the green light practice, where everyone's shit faced. And the vowel line, Orzog. We had a line of forwards, the Czech guys, and they could
Erat. I love Erat.
And Arkhipov, and they could not fucking stand up and skate. We were at the harbor rink, And I just remember watching these guys skate around, and I'm like, is this fucking the NHL? These guys literally can't fucking put their skates on and stand up. Well, Trotsky was the best coach too.
That's the one with all the bras.
All the bras and panties. Yeah.
I was like, oh wow, this is cool.
It was kind of a little taste of Nashville inside New York.
Hey, Hartsy, Updog brings up Trotsky, and I only had 1 year with Trotsky, but people ask me this day who was my favorite coach, and he probably wasn't the best. Well, he wasn't the best X's and O's, but just from a perspective of getting the boys going, I love Trotsky. Did you have the same kind of feeling for him with your time in Nashville?
Yeah, I don't think I probably appreciated him as much as I do now being done, and I've seen other coaches. You know, he got the best out of a lot of guys, and let's be honest, Nashville's lineup, they weren't spending even close to what the Red Wings were spending, you know, in the early 2000s, right? They're spending $20 million on a whole team. You know, now they're spending, you know, $75 million on a team, and they have superstars and whatnot. But he just had everyone dialed in the system. He's done it wherever he's gone. He's dialed in Ovi when he won a Stanley Cup in Washington. He's done the same thing to Matt Barcell and that whole group. They play such good defense. And if you don't play that way, and he knows it's effective because it's work, right? He's won, I don't know, 860 games plus whatever he's won. So it's just really incredible. And, you know, I respected him, but, you know, I don't think I respect him as much as I probably should because I was, you know, a young punk, thought I was the coolest cat in the bag, right?
Bird Dog, I say the exact same thing, man, word for word. Trotsky was, you know, and he was hard on me because, well, obviously he should have been. I probably wasn't as serious as I should have been back then. And I was running with Toots. And me and Toots kind of like, we were best buddies. And it was easy to kind of get off the path a little bit, so to speak. And then the lockout came and we had so much fun in Milwaukee. And I'm sure they heard about all that, even though, like, you know, we were super successful in Milwaukee. I think they just wanted us to take it a little more serious. Right. Yeah. And you would expect the same as I grew up, and I had to pull guys aside in St. Louis, like younger guys. And I don't have to mention names, but I'd be like, hey, you remind me of me when I was your age, and I just want to tell you how this is going to go.
Throw a domer on.
where was my speech up, Doug? Where was my speech?
Hazy, I wasn't quite old enough yet with you.
Where was my mate? He wasn't telling you. He's like, Hazy, let's go.
But Hartsy, it just brings me into this next thing we wanted to talk to you about, coaches and how hard they, you know, how hard some of these coaches are. We just had Daryl, we talked about Daryl Sutter. Yeah. We've talked about our
Tortorella.
Tortorella, yeah. It's
there was something that Trotsy did to you in a season at the end of the season that you'll never forget.
Oh, I think I know what you're talking about. When he piped me, when he scratched me?
Yeah, you were going for the Iron Man. You had, you played in every game. And
yeah, I played all 80 games is game 81. And I was, you know, not playing bad, I don't think. Like, yeah. And I'd have to go back and watch the 10 prior games. And that morning skate, I was like, I scored every single shot. I'm like, oh, I'm going to, you know, light it up tonight, you know, feeling it. And after practice, he, you know, brought me over. And this is after practice.
Yeah,
and, I'm like, he's like, you're not playing tonight. And I was like, huh? Excuse me? And I was like, You're doing what to me? And like, yeah, you're not playing tonight. I think your game's been slipping. I'm like, this is a fuck, you know, this is a joke, you know, like whatever. You know, we kind of went at it a little bit. He left and I got bag skated.
I was with you, by the way.
Stands. Yeah.
I was getting bag skated with you.
Yeah. My stick went like 40 rows up in the, you know, almost in the upper bowl. I came off. I punted my helmet, threw my stuff around. The media's in there and, you know, one of the brainiacs is like, oh, I take it you're not playing tonight. You know? I'm like, what do you think? And I remember saying something like, you know, I think it was a pretty gutless move. You know, it's not often. I've never played all 82 games. And, you know, to the way I play in this league, it's you know, probably something you shouldn't do. Maybe just talk to me before you scratch me, you know, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, and then it came out the next day in the papers what I said. And, you know, David Poyle called me in, Trotsy called me in, and it's like, you know, you can't say this stuff in the paper. I'm like, well, it's my feelings. Like, why can't I say that? That, you know, I thought it was Bush League that you guys did that. And, you know, game 82, I think I was a 2-on-1, pulled up Clapper, like barring down on a 2-on-1. And I'm like, I didn't even celebrate. I was just so mad that they scrapped me for that one game.
Yeah, it's something though, and you deserve to play in that game. I don't care what anyone says. At 80 games, it's such a feat, and not many guys ever play full 82.
No, it's hard.
You know, I played 16 years. I did it once, but it's impossible to
imagine
do.
Imagine if they would have scratched Yandel at the beginning of this year.
Yeah,
oh my god, straight.
Like it's something you don't do, even though you know maybe his game wasn't at the level or something. You got to stick with those guys. And. And, you know, I think I was 21 maybe at the time or 22, something like that. But, you know, still, I thought it was a Bush League move. Still do, actually.
Yeah. I guarantee you, Trotsy, if you asked him to, would be like, I made a mistake there.
Well, it probably wasn't just him,
no,
right?
We know
how David Poyle,
but it affects
right?
the locker room, too, I feel like, because guys are pulling for you to be able to play in all 82 games. Like you guys said, that's something to be proud of.
Yeah, Hartsy, I don't know if it was the same way when you guys were there, but my 1 year... Trotsy couldn't tell the fourth line who was playing, who wasn't playing, because Poyle was making the lineup. So these fucking poor fucks, they would have
not
to
tonight, Upshaw. I'm like, shit.
I'm like, you're so after like halfway through the year, I'm like, Trotsy, you got to tell these poor fucks if they're playing or not. Like, there's four guys going home thinking they don't know if they're in the lineup or not. Like, maybe they want to just, you know, have lunch normally. So he did the same thing for you guys.
Me,
right?
Smithson, Fiddler. And I mean, then there'd be an older guy and he'd come in, he'd look Sweet. Around and he'd just go, Upshaw, not tonight. I'd be like, oh, again, I just got to go ride that
but
bike.
Then there'd be 7D out there too. And he'd be like, sorry, straight off the dry erase, you know, keep your head up, you know, everyone's like waiting for him to come in.
Yeah. Oh, that's the worst thing.
Oh.
I thought that was Bush League.
Bird Dog, let's switch things to you moved to Philadelphia, back to Philly. You you know, live next to one of your best buddies that you played with, longtime friends, Kimo Tiemann. And shout out to him. We got to have him on at some point. But let's talk about the Philadelphia Flyers. They're, you know, we all had them picked to do big things this year. They're in a little bit of a funk. They managed to squeak a big game out in Buffalo last night. And just give me some thoughts on what's going on in Philly, and then we'll talk about our time there.
Yeah, no, it's frustrating right now for the Flyers this season. They started off okay. The goalies have kind of been a little bit suspect the whole year. Defense is kind of they look a little bit lost out there. Forwards aren't helping out the defensemen, which is obviously leads to a lot of goals against. And you know, I think this last month of March, they're lowest in the league in goals against average. And save percentage and all that stuff. And when you do that, you're not going to win games. And, you know, they have periods or 10 minutes of games where they look like an all-star team and they're flying and everyone's doing the right things. And then, you know, halfway through that period, they'll stop and they'll let three goals. So it's more of a team thing than an individual thing. Carter Hart, you know, hasn't been himself, you know, in his first couple of years. I know he's still a young goalie, but you look through the lineup and the like they're deep up front and they don't have the best D in the world, but they got some solid D and their goalies, Moose has probably been better of the two in net. And that's why he's kind of playing right now. Carter Hart is taking a little time off to get his game back dialed in, away from the team, I guess. And I don't know. It bugs me because I know how good they can be. And you know, if I was on the team or a coaching staff, it would just drive you absolutely crazy to see these guys not perform like they should be.
Hartsy, before I turn over to Broadway, you brought up Carter Hart, and I played for AV, and one thing about AV, he doesn't do many mind games. He said Carter Hart isn't working hard enough, so he's pulled him away from the team. Are you worried at all? Because let's be honest, you play, the Flyers haven't had a franchise goal in a long time. Are you worried about Carter Hart's long-term confidence at all, Hartsy? Like, let's not worry about this year. Let's worry about this kid for the next 5 years kind of thing.
Yeah, it's hard because it's, you know, some kids, it's contract year for Carter too, right? He's, you know, everyone's like, oh, he's going to get a big ticket, an 8-year deal. And, you know, maybe that was weighing on him, you know, prior to the season as well. And, you know, now he's got an 850 save percentage and, you know, four goals against average. It's, you know, it's, he's not going to sign the ticket that he probably was going into the season. So, you know, if it's that pressure or pressure of being a Philly goalie or, you know, everyone looking at him like, you know, what's wrong with you? Work harder. It's probably the last thing you want to say to a goaltender is work harder, because you don't think they're actually trying not to save the roster. So, you know, and all these goals, have been a dead at what, 13 points in three games against this guy, just teeing off from empty netters because guys are letting them seam pass and, you know, one timer in the net. So it's, you can point the fingers all you want to, but, you know, unless they get the structure back in their game, you know, they won't be going very far. They won't be getting in the playoffs.
Yeah, and Hartsy, that's why I wanted to ask you, like, with the trade deadline coming up here, who are guys do you think that the Philadelphia Flyers should be targeting? Like, do they go after a goalie? Like, I don't think that's going to solve it. I feel like you said, they're deep up front, but who do you think is available for them to go grab on the back end?
Well, it's tricky. The one thing I think is over all GM's head is the expansion draft, right? So if they go try and trade one or two guys to bring in an Ekholm, like, you'll have to, you know, protect him. You'll have to protect Phil Myers, Provorov. Do you let Travis Sanheim go? You know what I mean? So then you can only protect four forwards, and you got to protect G. You know what I mean? So it's kind of, all this stuff is kind of, you know, over their heads what they're going to do. But, you know, they do need a defenseman. They miss Niskanen so much you know, from last year, how solid of a D-man he was. But, you know, I think long-term picture, you know, they do need at least one or two more defensemen that know how to play defense and not, you know, just try and be, you know, go up the ice and score all the goals and stuff. You take care of your own ice first, and then you can do that. So I think that needs to be addressed. I believe in Carter Hart. You know, I've met the kid a few times. He just seems like a solid individual and a solid goalie. And I think he'll be okay in the long run. It's just one of these things. If it's the contract, if it's, you know, what it is, COVID, like, you know, he hasn't seen his parents. I know he's a single kid. He can't go out for dinner. You know, you're stuck in your room. Like, what do you do? Right. You just kind of, you crumble as a human being. Right. And now you got to go out and have this confidence to, you know, to stop the best scorers in the world. It's not that easy to do, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
They're lucky that they don't have fans in there right now, because Philadelphia Flyer fans, when things aren't going well, can be,
after that second period, they could be last night, a little, that would have been a tough walk off.
And Hartsy, I don't know about you, Hartsy, but with your time there, I you might have had a couple bad years. You were there for, I think, 7 years, correct? But I was there 3 years. When I got there, they were toilet bowl, man. We were bottom of the, I mean, when I got there, we were last place, and that's just unheard of for Philly fans. So it could only have got better. And then, you know, the transition we had, I always tell people, and we had Carbom on, which was a great interview, but he even said that group of guys we had back then, had we, you know, had say it might have been a goalie or a save, you know, a save here or there. You know, Marty Baron was a great goalie for us, but if there was a stud that was, you know, that just got you over the edge, you know, Fleury, we lost to Fleury the 1 year for when I was there, got outplayed by probably Sid and Malkin too. But But anyway, that group of guys, like awesome and almost there. And that's what kind of the new Philadelphia Flyers look like to me. They just need to like put it all together. And it's a tough package to do when you're in Philly because you usually have that pressure all the time. But without no fans, that they kind of don't. I don't know. I was noting where I'm going with that. But
we did have some good squads, though.
Hell yeah.
Great guys and people who care for each other. And that's one thing, too. Like, oh, do they really care if they're winning or losing? Like, of course these guys care. I know, like, five or six of them really well. You know, Jakey Voracek, JVR, Claude Drew, and those guys care. They want to win. You know, they're in the twilight of their career. They're on the back nine. And then they want to get it done, you know, in Philadelphia where, you know, you win a Stanley Cup here, you make a big run, you're legends here forever.
Hartz, you bring up Voracek, and at the start of the year when he sounded off on that guy in the Flyers media, and I know you're media, we're all media now, but I thought it was great. And just touch on your time in Philly. Like, obviously, I played against you, and I knew the fans in Philly loved you the way you played, but dealing with the media in Philly when you're a player, was it something that you had in the back of your mind all the time?
Yeah, they're always looking for something. They're always looking for you to slip up. They're looking for, you know, oh, who was out the night before a game or after that game. And, you know, then they'd trace the wins. Oh, maybe they were out here because of this. And, you know, I've listened to you guys before. We've just the guys, the beauties that we've had on the on those teams. So it's been I don't regret doing anything that I did here in Philadelphia. I actually was like the guy that wasn't actually involved in any of those rumors, which is hilarious because it was always Richards and Carson up to Carbomb, and there I'm like right there leading the pack, and I'm like, how come I'm not? This is perfect.
I tried to get traded to you guys after you guys came into Vancouver and absolutely spanked us the one night. We went out, the whole squad was back at my house. And then the next night I was with Richie. I'm like, Richie, you got to get me to Philly, man. You got to get me in there. You guys have such a fun team. But you could tell Hartsy, not only playing against you, obviously I knew Uppy and Loops, but the way you guys played on the ice and hung out off the ice, it made a difference. Like kind of like those LA Kings teams with Stoli.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Yeah. You talk to any of those guys off, you know, off the record, but yeah. You know, they had so much fun. Right. And that's what brings a team together. And nowadays it's, you know, especially this COVID stuff, it's really hard to do anything, obviously, but you know, you have a good group off the ice. It totally correlates to on the ice. How you care for each other, how you stick up for each other. You want to go to war for that guy. You stick up for guys, which kind of brings the team together on the ice too. So, you know, everything about those years were, you know, my best years. I was playing well, scoring goals, all that kind of stuff. I absolutely loved it.
Yeah, Bird Dog, you talk about like these guys and like having fun and being able to, you know, the COVID stuff ruining it. You'd always throw the team parties. You had a sick pad in Philly, sick pad in Nashville. Yep. Halloween, you killed every Halloween. Larry Bird. I mean, this guy, Bird. Oh yeah. I mean, what were you for Halloween this year? Like, let me ask. Probably Larry Bird.
No, this year, well, it was a big blow up dinosaur, you know, the big air. I've got two kids now. So my son is a big dinosaur fan. Molly, my daughter, was a little gingy dinosaur egg, and my wife was the paleontologist looking for bones in the backyard.
So they're creative.
So he always threw the best parties. Yeah. So I don't know how he didn't get tied into the conversations about it. These guys are having too much fun. Bird Dog, let's talk about on the ice, because I don't think anyone really does what you used to do when you played, which was have fun. And not enough guys enjoy the game and smile. And it was one thing you taught me, which I think I ended up being a professional at, was coming to the rink with a smile on my face, making sure everyone, you know, if we're in the dog days or whatever, fuck, we're in the NHL. Let's enjoy this. Bird Dog on the ice, some of the antics he would do would be, it would make everyone laugh. Coaches, I'm sure the GMs, fans, from the Hartnell down to, you know, the time when you fucking threw your glove at Malone. Yeah, like if that ever happened right now, it would be all time. And it's not too long ago, but that kind of persona and what you did for the game that way, making it fun was something, you know, that your peers and everyone will always laugh and think of you with your long hair falling down. And now you got a kid's book. Thank you for the kid's book, by the way.
Yeah.
So you wrote a kid's book, but just touch on that. You just showing up to the rink laughing. And what that kind of can do to a team. And is it still an art? Is it still there? Do you see it? Do you see it with these younger guys?
Well, I see Jimmy's brother in Philadelphia, a guy that just brought that dressing room together. And I think, you know, not to toot my own horn, but when I got traded in 2014, I don't think they've had a guy like Kevin Hayes in Philly that kind of
no had bad fun days. At
the rink. Yeah, like had fun at the rink, right? And, you know, after a loss, you have fun and you go out there and work your ass off and get better that next day in practice. And, you know, I think Ron Hextall, I don't know if he was a little bit too serious with that group and just kind of took the fun out of the game, right? And that's what it's all about. Poppy, I got to ask you, do you remember the one practice in Nashville? I think I might have been using, I don't know if it was a wood stick, but like a wood blade with a graphite shaft, and my stick broke at the bottom of it, right? So I had about this much of my blade left on there, and we're doing like, you know, skate out of the corner, pass the D, regroup, and go down on a 3-on-2, and my stick blew up on the first pass, but I didn't go get another one. I didn't stop the drill, so I'm basically with a ringette stick, and I'm skating around, passing it around, and goes on a 3-on-2, and I try and take a slap shot. I miss the puck. I fall down, and Trotsky's just shaking his head. He was so mad at me, I think, but all the boys were like, woo! Just loving it.
That's hockey, though. Yeah. That I love laughing in practice, like doing something so dumb, going like they would call full up dog, like just going complete full up dog. How about Bird Dog? I remember you in Philly too, Johnny Stevens. It might have been Hill. It might have been Johnny or who was our assistant coach? He passed away last year. McElhardy.
Oh, Jack McElhardy.
Jack McElhardy. Yeah. He was fucking awesome, by the way. We're doing like these 3-on-2 drills, and you came up and tried to make a play at the blue line, and they're like, get the puck deep. So the next drill, the next time he's up, he literally gets the puck on his half wall coming out of his zone, and he just rips a slap shot down the ice as hard as he can around the glass. Like, didn't get to the red line, blow the whistle. Fucking come on, Hartnell, treat you, like, be serious on next play. And he just gets to the red line and just rips another one as hard. But I mean,
I'll never forget too about John Stevens. You'll probably remember this too, Huppy. In Florida, pregame skate, and John Stevens before the practice called everyone in, and he's like, you know, I know you guys like to throw these saucer passes around, like I don't want to see one saucer pass the whole day. And me and Loops and Karts, we're just throwing rink wide saucers, landing perfectly. You know, we're feeling it, and you know, he breaks up the meeting. And I said, F this. I'm like, Cards, Loops, backhand passes only today. So we're doing the same drills. We're coming out on a 3-on-0, go down, you know, regroup all the way back and shoot. And so I'm a left winger, and it's hard to do a backhand pass, right? So I get a backhand pass from Cards, and I catch it, and I turn around back, and I'm skiing backwards through the neutral zone, and I'm going hard backhand pass across the loop. He gets it, backhand pass the line. We all circle around, backhand pass is coming up. And I'm sure John Stevens is like, oh my God, this Hartnell's an idiot. Like, but it was pretty epic.
It's his own fault for saying he can't throw a sauce in a National League practice, Hart. So you proved a good point there. Fuck.
Yeah, no. And it's, he had a great sauce pass. Yeah. Heel to toe, a little heel curve.
It's the best part of Pracky.
Hartsy, one of my favorite moments is when you scored that goal against Toronto and then instantly fight Phaneuf. Like, was there a huge feud you had with Phaneuf? And was he like the number one guy you couldn't stand? Because you were a guy like to get under one skin. Who was like the number one guy you couldn't deal with?
He was always a guy for a tap and fight. You know what I mean? Like, you knew you weren't going to get killed. You knew, you know, probably the same weight class. But if I was struggling, I always looked for, you know, someone to fight to get out of that slump. And that shift, I got absolutely buried by him behind the net. Just like, clean hit, smoked me. I was a little startled, came up, whacked it in, and then I just looked at him like, we're going, you know, drop the mitts and good fight, right? So I think I might have fought him 4 or 5 or 6 times in my career, and you know, did okay in a lot of them. And another Dion story, when I made the All-Star game in 2012, he, you know, did the whole suck it for enough, you know, thing when we're on the ice, and then we were playing him, you know, a few days later or whatever, and he was like sour on the face off. And I'm like, oh, what's wrong there, Dion? I'm like, you mad what I said in the All-Star game? And he goes, oh, how was your first All-Star game there, kid? How was it? Did you enjoy it? He's been to like 4 or 5. I'm like,
that's great. Yeah. Hey, Hartsy, Dion's a funny fucker.
Yeah, that was great feud. Hartsy, I love the fact of your game that you could score goals and you would fight. That's the only thing I respect about you. Fighting's up. We talked about Getzlaf before we had you on. Do you think fighting's up just because of the division play all year in COVID, or is this a trend we may see continue that GMs are starting to realize you need guys that can chuck them and play the game?
Yeah, it goes in circles, right? You wanted the big D-man, and now you want the small you know, skilled guys that can move. And, you know, now guys are just, you know, kind of wearing those guys down. So you need to get bigger on the back end. It goes back and forth. And, you know, I'm sure Getsy's just mad at, you know, his team, how bad they're playing. That's why he's dropping the mix so much. But, you know, it's part of the game. I don't think that's one thing that they should never, ever take out, because it is a game changer. You need a lift. The boys are playing bad, a spark, you know, if you will. It's nothing better than a good old fashioned tilt. You don't want anyone to get hurt or get knocked out, but it's you know, it's part of the game and something that I always love to get myself going. You know, I was in maybe, you know, four, five, six, seven fights a year, and you know, kind of look forward to every one of them.
Bird Dog talk. We mentioned this a couple weeks ago on our podcast, but we talked about the ESPN deal, the new TV deal coming up. For guys like us, you know, just leaving the game, exciting time to hear ESPN's on. ESPN's cool. They're going to make, you know, I throw it up, they're going to make hockey cool again. trademark, TM, no big deal.
Yeah.
You know, any interest in you to continue the TV work? You did great job on NBC Sports, you know, doing NHL Live and NHL Tonight. But I guess, how have you been enjoying this, you know, post-hockey career? And talk a little bit about the deal and maybe what that can bring to guys like us.
Yeah, no, I think, you know, I've never been more nervous in hockey than my first time at the NHL Network. I'm sitting there and we know we have a guest coming on and, you know, I have my question all prepared and, you know, I'm the third guy to answer the question. And so I have a backup question as well. And, you know, the two questions come in. I'm like, okay, I got my A question here ready to go. And I'm looking at he's remote somewhere, right? So I'm looking at the camera and all of a sudden I'm like, so how's the guy's feeling okay? You know, and then I got the producer Mayor. He's like, "You okay, Scott?"
You're like, "I think I'm gonna pass out." Oh.
But I was like, "He's like, you need to like project a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, you know, God, you know, you have a personality used." And I was like, "Oh my God!" My heart rate's like, you know, 180, right? Like highest it's ever been in a hockey shift. And I'm like, "Oh man." Boy, I don't think I'm cut out for this. And then, you know, a few times it felt a little bit easier. And you know, now it's still, you get a little bit of nerves, which is good. But, you know, it is kind of fun to be involved in the game and listen to you guys. You guys are having so much fun. And, you know, ESPN, you know, it is a big network, right? Not that NBC Sportsnet isn't or NBC isn't. But, you know, to get the brand of hockey out to more people is better, right? Than, you know, all different nationalities and minorities. It's so cool, the game we've got going on. Hockey literally is for everybody, and it's a great thing.
Yeah, Hartsy, and you bring up, you know, the first time I did sports on TV, the guy in the, you know, your earpiece is like, "All right, here we go."
Yeah.
And you're like, my heart rate too. I was like, "Holy fuck, here we go." So
yeah.
I know what you're saying there. And me and Updog have talked, and Broadway have talked about, you know, showing the personalities of the hockey players. You know, you were a guy that we talk about with a great personality. My question to you is, do you think it starts with the GM and coaches allowing these players moving forward with ESPN to show their personalities and not continue just saying, you know, get pucks deep and all the right things? In my opinion, Hartsy, it starts with the GMs, coaches, and owners letting these players show their personalities.
Yeah, I don't think there's as loud of personalities as in, you know, football, basketball, you know, baseball, you know, the walk-up songs in baseball. You know, if you got a country boy from Oklahoma, he's playing, you know, some Garth Brooks when he comes on, right? You know, that's pretty cool. In hockey, you don't really, I shouldn't say you won't be able to express that, but, you know, the suit and tie before the game, like, let guys, you know, maybe dress how they want to. If they want to wear a ball cap, you know, from their hometown, baseball team, whatever, that's cool too, right? It's a different world it is now. It's, you know, you want everyone to have that freedom of speech, whatever. So yeah, whatever happens. It's you know, whatever pays the bills, I guess.
imagine
the lights on, aren't
hey
you?
imagine the Russian techno you would have heard for Ovechkin scoring 700 and whatever goals this whole time if he had like a walk-up song every time he scored.
Man, that's crazy.
Hey, it would be. All the Russian jumpsuits when they wore to the rink.
Updog, how's your golf game, buddy? Living out in L.A.
It's pretty.
The golf game, it could be better. No. I lost. I ended up losing $600 Friday. I got steamrolled by Obi and the boys.
Yeah, we did get steam. Well, Hartsy, his biggest problem is he's on his phone the whole fucking round. Right?
So
the
first, I'm working. I'm always hates.
The first nine, he's working, all right. Then the back nine, but you should see how far this guy's fucking hitting it, Hartsy. He's hitting it like, I'm not lying, like 340. You're hitting it longer than when you played. I don't know what it is, but
it's all on the hips, Bird Dog.
He's bombing.
Hey, Can I tell? I want to tell a quick updog story, yeah, if I will.
For sure.
Okay, feel free, bud. Hey, this is your platform.
Oh, dude, I'll never forget it. I've never been mad at you before in my life, except for after this time. And I'm not going to say the course's name, and I'm not sure if this is going to ring a bell, but we're out there and we're playing golf, and you four wiggled. And I know you do this quite a bit, where you have the golf balls by the hole, and you try and whack it in the woods, right?
Yeah. Oh. Did you clip it?
Literally,
I took a fucking divot.
He rips a divot like two iPhones back to back, beside a cup, literally beside a cup. And it was the goddamn club's championship that day, and we went out. The club pro let us go up before them, so they got all the pros coming in.
And you had just joined the club. I think that summer you had just joined this club. Was that the Hermitage?
No, that was out in was Old Natchez.
Oh yeah, okay.
I turned white and I looked at him and he's like, oh fuck, and he goes and he starts picking up and the green divots are like
they're everywhere, they're little pebbles.
So he's trying to take the tees and he's like, help me out, hard. I'm like, I'm out of here, buddy. I just went right to the clubhouse that time. And he's sitting there trying to piece this thing back together, it looked so bad. And they had the club championship rolling.
They hate. What's great is that they still let me join the next year. They still let me join.
I was so mad at you, but like, oh my god,
Bird
so
Dog.
Funny.
I still get that mad. I don't swing at balls like that. I would never do that at my own club, but I'm definitely one to throw a ball up and just launch it like 400 yards with my putter, swinging Hugs, baseball.
Don't let him kid you. He fucking tossed his putter in the nine pond like a month and a half ago, and then the newfie in him, he's trying to fish his putter out of the fucking pond. I'm like, Uppy, we'll get you another putter. Get out of there.
It was a good putter. But anyway, yeah, that's good stuff. Bird Dog, anything? Are you still doing stuff with Hartnell Down Foundation?
We are not. No, we kind of shut that down kind of after I stopped playing. And if I was in Philly, it still would have been huge, I'm sure. But we did write the children's book. We took a bunch of kids from Philly area, Columbus area when I was there for a few years, and took them to Minnesota and got them out of, you know, their cities and do these hockey camps where TJ Oshie was and Wayne Simmons and me and JVR, and we're all, you know, working out and watching these kids work out. It was a pretty cool little deal that we did for a few years. Well, probably like seven years, but wow. Just decided to shut her down after that.
Hartsy, last one for me, buddy. First of all, thanks for doing this.
Yep.
I love battling against you. I wanted to fucking kill you, but I know the guys that played you respected the shit out. You had a great career. Your scene with Megan Fox, bro. Listen, she was the one back when I was in the National League, so that I was like, wow, Megan Fox. How did that come about? And talk about being nervous. Were you nervous at all shooting that scene with Megan Fox?
A little bit. She was probably the... I was going to say
she was my favorite.
Listen, before that one, she was 1A at the time. She was the hottest girl.
She was hot, but she was like the meanest, like, you know, just not nicest person. And, you know, I hate saying that word about anyone, but it was Leslie Mann was Judd Apatow's wife, Judd Apatow's wife. And she was in the scene as well. And she was so sweet and so loving and so caring. And you guys need anything. And Megan Fox would just like, as soon as the cut was on, she'd be run back to her thing and, you know, tried like kind of talk to her the one time after they cut the one scene. And she's, I'm like, hey, Megan, you know, and started talking to her. And, you know, she looked me up and down and just degraded me right in front of all the guys right there. And all like Le Perrier and JVR, like, she burned you. And I'm like, I didn't even say anything rude. I was just like trying to have a conversation, right? But
yeah, you got
to
try.
That was pretty cool, a little movie scene. Still get my residual checks from that. That's no big deal.
There you go.
Buys me a cup of coffee, every month. So
did you get your did he get a stag card for that? Did you get a stag card? Did you have a line in that? You did, right?
He had a line. Full scene, like a full scene.
Yeah, so that's
you're almost 40, Uppy. You gotta start watching.
Yeah, I know.
Full scene, they're at the bar, fucking, and Hartsy's mixing up, talking to him. It's a great scene.
I gotta get it.
Great scene for hockey players in general. So
just grinding with every extra there, too, just trying to get it going, you know?
Yeah, you're like, fuck Megan Fox, where are these extras at?
All right, Bird Dog. We know you gotta go. You got an NHL Live. People need to see you, people need to hear you, but we thank you for coming. coming on.
Thanks, Hartsy.
Hi to Katie, your little girl, Molly, Wesley, old Wesley Snipes. Yeah. Appreciate you, buddy. You're the man. We got to put a golf trip on the books. Me and Obi are always looking for, you know, for a game.
We'll get Stoli out there, too.
We'll get eight guys, make a little Ryder Cup action.
Love it.
It'd be great.
Awesome, buddy.
All right, Marchie, thanks, buddy. All
right, love you, man. Take care.
All right. Take care, guys. Thank you. See you, Jimmy. Yep. See you,
bud.
Up Dog, Broadway, that was awesome. Up, great pull, getting Hartsy. I know you could tell it's great. I mean, I did it with PA, and I could see it with you guys, taking a little trip down memory lane, just laughing. I could tell how much he meant to you as a teammate. And I battled that motherfucker. He was a good player. So just Hartsy was great.
Man, he embarrassed me there with the putter toss.
That does not surprise me.
That's a tough look. And he brought it up.
You always throw your clubs.
Yeah, but throwing the clubs one thing.
Yeah. Rip the green.
I throw the club sometimes because I think it's funny. Now, that wasn't funny, but they did, you know, apologies to the
golf course.
But yeah, they should have moved the cup. Cup shouldn't have been there.
You should have made the fucking putt. How'd you miss it? Jeez, come on.
No, listen, boys. Hartnell, thanks for coming on. You're a beauty. You had the hair going good. I know you had an NHL Live interview after that. So thanks for coming on. Obi, you and I are always getting these guests that, you know, we played with before and some of our best teammates, right?
Yeah, I could just
best,
see
best
that.
Stories. I played 8 years with him.
Yeah. No, you had a smile on your face that like I was like, fuck up, he's enjoying this. So
yeah,
cool.
I've been on golf trips with him. He has a great place in Kelowna. We didn't talk in this, but he has a house in Columbus right on the golf course.
I meant to ask him about Columbus.
Columbus was as bad as up he says it.
Yeah, I know. I didn't get to that either.
Well, I didn't live on the fucking sixth tee, but the sixth fairway at Muirfield.
Yeah. Broadway, what were your thoughts on Hartsy real quick here while we wrap?
Oops. Hartsy was a guy, like, he was, when I was playing, he always had a smile. And like you said, he was a competitor, but he was the guy that seemed like he was always having fun during the game. And it was just fun to see his personality and see the updog and him go back and forth. And I think, you know, I can tell why he had so much fun. He had some great teammates, and he's a hell of a player and played for long ass trophies in his career.
I mean, if I was scoring 30, making fucking five, I would have been happy too. But no, Hartsy, thank you very much to Scott Hartner for coming out. Updog, little announcement to make, buddy. We just went over 1 million downloads. So
wow. Adam Fox has been
a million downloads.
So to our listeners, thank you very much. Updog, I mean, buddy, we were talking about this, I think, drunk over some whiskey, and here we are now. So to our listeners, to you, Uppy, thank you. Hazy, thank you for your hard work. A-Hall, Max, Hall Pass, thank you. And don't forget, DraftKings, Friday Night Hockey. Catch a buzz on the golf course. Fill out your team. DraftKings Friday Night Hockey promo code.
Curfew Kings, baby.
Thanks for listening.